Okay, so my talk basically follows on from where Jeremy left off with other projects need to use these Windows authentication technologies. It's an area that, as a system administrator, I've just taken a bit of an interest in because I've got an actual site to run, I've got real client problems, and I know that these problems can actually be solved. So I've been looking into integrating Windows authentication into Unix clients and servers. Firstly, the part of me that drives this talk is my persona as a system administrator. It was, in fact, being that sysadmin that drove me onto the Samba team and subsequent madness in authentication. But my site has around 800 students, 170 client computers of varying types. We don't actually have any Linux desktops at the moment, but we do all single sign-on into a Samba domain. And we have to have that single sign-on work for things other than just the Windows domain logon. We have to have it working for webmail, for proxy authentication, and numerous other things within the college. The holy grail of authentication. One password, one time, never think about it again. Sites do go through amazing hoops to try and make this work. The idea that you could have, oh, now that's my mainframe password I need here, and my email password for that, and oh, and this other one to get into the Windows desktop. It doesn't fly anymore. So we need single sign-on. We need passwords that users can change. We need things, passwords that users don't then just write down on the post-it because it was 50 characters long and randomised, because that's what the admin thought would be fun today. So we have to work on systems which are real-time, which are actually using single password databases. And this is where I've been working, particularly working on the basis that we have legacy NT passwords. A large number of you were here for John's tutorial over the last 2 days, and we're looking at migrating Windows NT domains to Samba, or have, and most of the rest of you will have in some way, Samba domains or Windows domains that are the only authentication base in your organisation. So whatever we do, we have to be able to work with the passwords we've got. We've got Samba passwords, and we don't usually have the plain text passwords or other, you know, interesting things that would make this game easier. So what I'm looking at is what we can do within those parameters. The other driving force here is all the protocols that in various ways have been hacked up, bastardised, ripped apart and generally made a mess of to do Windows authentication. SIFS, well, you'd expect it. It's what it was built for. It was built for doing Windows authentication. But Microsoft has jammed this concept of single sign-on with NTLMSSP into HTTP in particular. LDAP, that goes through some of the lovely security soup layers. IMAP, POP, SMTP, particularly Microsoft Exchange will speak these, and sometimes it's impossible to talk to your Exchange server if you don't. SMTP, there is even NTLM authentication for Telnet, of all bizarre things. RPC and MAPI, which is the protocol that Exchange uses for its native file access. All of these things talk Microsoft's authentication protocols. If you're in an organisation where your servers, some of them are still legacy Windows servers, you have to be able to talk these things. If you're in an organisation like most of the people here with legacy Windows clients, you have to have your servers able to talk these things. The assumptions for this talk, as I mentioned a moment ago, are member servers. We can create all sorts of solutions that happen when you've got a list of all the plain text passwords. The game's easy. You know, there's almost no point. But when it's not quite so easy, when it's the stage where you've got the PDC, that's controlled by corporate IT over in the corner and they're not letting you near it, you can usually manage to get a member server account. No, it's just the same as all the workstations. I won't look any different. But with that is enough to be able to integrate a pile of Unix services and to successfully authenticate our users. Easy one is services that come in as plain text. Setting up PAN-WinBind is not a massively onerous task compared to some other things. And we can have users SSHing into a box and functioning on that machine with plain text passwords. NTLM and MSChat are more interesting, but actually allow secure network communication. That's the one that our integration hasn't been as easy. Plain text is easier because PAM will handle it. We provide a PAM module, everyone else talks to PAM, you know, we all go home for lunch. The other ones, are the things I'm working on to try and make those steps easier. However, I will mention the plain text authentication for a moment. We have PanWinBind, I mentioned, but we also have a program, my helper program for all these things, which is NTLM Auth. It provides, as a specific benefit to the SQUID user community, a authentication mode which behaves in the way that SQUID expects plain text authentication to occur. This was developed to make it easier for administrators that didn't want to fuss about with PAM. They were able to use NTLM Auth directly. But as I sort of mentioned on the previous slide, PAM makes this part of the job most easy. But it's still single sign-on. The users will still cope with these kind of setups because the password is still a password they expect, and it's their corporate password. It can expose passwords on the network if you're not using SSL. Not too many people use SSL, so it's a compromise, but it does mean that you've got that one password. PanWinBind also allows us on a Unix system to kill the password sync. Even on your Samba primary domain controller, there is no need to maintain a separate Unix password. Samba goes to a lot of pain to maintain that. We have command line parameters up the wazoo to ensure that we can have Unix password sync. But it's not actually required. If you've got a PAM system set up, all your Unix authentication can occur against that same password database. As I mentioned before, any other protocol can also use the PAM modules. Oh, just at this point, I really would appreciate questions, interruptions, preferably not the rotten fruit, but you know, if you have some nearby. I'm covering a lot of ground. I want to know what people are particularly finding interesting, and I can expand on those points. So, you know, questions during the presentation is how I prefer it. Helps break it up, makes it more interesting. Any at the moment? Yeah, one question? You've got a mic floating about somewhere? Yeah? Starting with single source of sign-on, but we actually have the ability to do real single sign-on, for Windows clients particularly. The difference is, single sign-on implies that you put your password in once at the start of the day. Single source of sign-on is that there is only one password you ever have to put in, but you might be typing it regularly. Welcome to Microsoft's holy grail of authentication for many years of its existence. NTLM SSP is Microsoft's generalised way of providing authentication to Windows clients. Jeremy explained a fair bit about it, but the thing to remember is that it contains inside it quite a deal of negotiation, sub-protocols, but it's always challenge response. At the very least, you will always have an authentication scheme where the clear text password is not exposed on the network. Actually, I had some nice slides from my authentication tutorial I probably should have thrown in at this point. But the basic idea is that given a challenge, the password that comes back will always be different. It's no use to an attacker. It's not particularly strong if the mechanism that's decided upon is not strong. As Jeremy alluded to, Loaf came up with all sorts of lovely holes in the LANMAN authentication scheme. Which is why, to run a secure network, you often have to configure things to tell the clients, you know, don't touch that, please, you know, never send an LM password. But this is what Microsoft uses. When it's configured right, it can be a secure 128-bit encrypted authentication scheme, providing a reasonable level of security for password-based services on a network. Done well, the weakest point will be your users' passwords. If that's on a post-it on the side of their monitor, we can't do much about that. On a Windows box, it behaves like Kerberos does on Unix. On a Windows box, the user only ever types their password once. Windows will automatically use NTLM SSP on an NTLM SSP capable connection. Will use the domain password that you typed at the first screen. If you're a Unix-oriented person, you think about this as Kerberos, where you fetched your ticket granting ticket at login. Except in Windows case, it just simply keeps the plain text password in memory. users like this and administrators like this because the users don't even need to know they're being authenticated. That's particularly useful in some in SWID proxy setups, which I'll be talking to a bit later. Intel Moth is my little baby for this authentication sort of area. The idea was that Samba had built up a good knowledge of Intel NSSP. We had to. SIFS was relying on it. But we want to use it elsewhere. So that program provides the interfaces out that other programs can call. Don't need to know about the guts and details. They simply call us and provide us with Base64 encoded strings. It also takes in plain text passwords, and it also takes in the passwords required for Windows VPN authentication, which is something I've actually written up a whole paper on. The driving force behind Intel NSSP was SQUID, or the exposing of it was SQUID. I run a site where I was intending to do Intel NSSP authentication, I started playing about with it. Certainly, the idea of not prompting the users in the browser was incredibly attractive. Previously, our site had run without logins. People were going to put in their password, and I didn't particularly want the passwords going across the network entirely in the clear. So I went to Intel NSSP. The clients were all IE at that stage and still are. However, we now have support in Mozilla for Intel NSSP. Intel Moth provided as a helper protocol to SQUID, and it's very useful in that way. And a particular point is that, unlike many other Samba services, we don't actually require Unix users to exist for Intel NSSP to work. We don't even need WinBind to be fully configured for in-NS switch or the like. It just provides the authentication bit because SQUID doesn't care about Unix users anyway. And Kinky Francisco is about to come up for a moment and just explain a couple of things about Intel NSSP and SQUID because he's the one of the driving forces behind it.
Hello, everyone. I'm Francesco Chimolli. I am one of the SQUID developers, and I'm one of the persons responsible for the initial interest from the SQUID team into Intel NSSP. There is a reason for this in that corporations usually don't want to let users know they're accessing anything external, but they want to keep us track very closely of what the users are doing. And thus the requirement to have a very strong single sign-on solution. SQUID initially had, actually it still has, but it's being phased out, its own NTLM Oath implementation, which was derived from a very old version of Samba. Now the basic requirement from SQUID installs is to just use Samba's NTLM Oath. The NTLM SSP implementation over HTTP is an horrible protocol. It has a very high burden on every party involved. Worst case scenario, it will triple the network load, and it will pose a significant load on the server and on the domain controller, in that each TCP connection will be authenticated, and which means that a corporate environment could require thousands of net logons each second. All the NTLM SSP blob is compressed into an HTTP header, and several kilobytes of TCP communication are required just to get across a few tens of bytes of worthy data. Currently, production-grade SQUID doesn't support NTLM v2. It just supports NTLM v1. There are experimental patches for SQUID which are beginning to change this. Right now, for instance, you cannot use single sign-on from a Win2K3 system. You have to change the registry to allow it to talk NTLM v1. It's changing. It's taking a bit of time because, of course, these things are pretty complex, more easily said than done, but it's happening. One of the nice things of an NTLSSP set up with the squid is that it's relatively simple. It requires basically a working with bind joined to a domain, which is about 10 lines of configuration in assembly.conf. And on Squid's side, well, basically you just need what you see on this screen. The first line, auth bound basic program, user bin, NTLM auth, just enables support for basic authentication over NTLM SSP, WinBind. The other two, the second line is cosmetic. Basically, it's just the title that appears on the pop-up messages prompting for a password. The third and the fourth line enable support for NTLM SSP using the Samba-provided NTLM auth program. And that's it. There's nothing else that's needed. So that's it for me.
Thank you. My next area of integration I looked at was for my Department of Computer Science at the university where I'm attending. We wanted to provide Windows users with access into the student campus network. We wanted to provide it in a way that we could pin them down so that if bad things happened, it was more than a laptop within about 100 metres of this building, probably on that park bench. That wasn't really acceptable. So we needed an authenticated VPN technology that was low overhead for the IT support department, particularly as the IT support department was all Unix, and they really didn't want to do anything with the Windows clients, particularly installing extra software or the like. So what we decided to do was to use the existing Microsoft VPN technology that's embedded into every Windows client, particularly Windows 98 and later. They fixed a few things after the protocol was proven to be complete shambles. And we used PopTop, an open source project on the server. My task was to make that whole thing talk to a Windows domain. We had the campus network, which has a single password for all users. It's a Windows 2000 domain. And we wanted users to continue to use their same password. So I modified PPPD to call out to NTLM auth in the same way that Squid does. And it uses that call out to authenticate to WinBind. WinBind talks to the domain controller. And then everybody's using that single campus password. Previously, PPPD required the clear text or possibly hashed password before it could actually do anything. And that's obviously not acceptable in this environment. For one, this solution ensures that the gateway server doesn't contain clear text passwords. It only passes things on. A task that I wish to go into this area soon is integrating free Radius into this setup so that you can run a Radius which is used for authenticating particularly dial-in connections, but it's basically a authentication. How best to describe Radius? It's an authentication system and it's particularly used by dial-in connections. Triple P connections that come in for, DSL or ISP environments use it a lot, but it's also used if you were to have VPN gateways. They're often configured as Radius clients, like a Cisco VPN gateway would be told, aim at that Radius server and it will figure out the rest. But this is an area I've been working on, and I've got a patch up on my website that actually implements this part. I'll be putting it into the Lorikeet repository when I get a chance. NTLM auth is also used in other projects. Because it provides a generic interface, I'm hoping other things will pick it up. There is a small Apache module that uses NTLM auth. I don't seem to have it with me. I think it's on my system at home that somebody did up for me that was Apache 2. It's not a particularly big task because it's simply wrapping the calls to it, but for some reason it's taken a while for it to appear. I'm going to work on that if it's not functioning, because we've got the Squid side. I want to get the Apache side. So we've got basic. So we have NTLM authentication in freely available HTTP servers. I've also done work with CirrusSSL. At the start of the year, I knocked up a patch for CirrusSSL that enables the use of NTLM auth for both NTLM SSP and also for SPNAGO in any CirrusSSL-enabled application. I've tested this in an SMTP server. I actually tested with Sendmail, and I was able to authenticate transparently for a Windows client to my SendMail server and have that authenticated recorded in the logs without requiring to put in the password on the Windows side. The other place that NTLM Authors ended up being used is the Midgard Content Management System. I think the feasibility didn't confirm it. That Alexander Bokovoy is involved in. And he's got NTLM SSP functioning within their system there. That's an Apache 2 module, but it's the whole content management system rather than just authentication. However, NTLM Auth isn't the end of the story when it comes to NTLM SSP. A number of other projects have attempted to implement this protocol. People have seen the need to implement it, and as such we have Cirrus Sassel has its own implementation, but that is not in any way compatible with a Windows domain. You can't pass through to a Windows domain, and also suffers from many of the usual flaws in the homegrown modules. It implements Unicode by adding a null between every second byte. Not quite the, so ASCII only effectively. Fetchmail has some code that was pulled out of some code, which was pulled out of some code that eventually originally came from Samba that attempts to implement NTLM SSP. Most of these also get very fixed structures and they don't implement the NDR layer correctly, which is why I will get a little worried about them, because the NTLM SSP sub-protocol has tons and tons of options. There is a full 32-bit header of options and most of them are used in some way or other. So I get a little worried when I see projects attempting to implement little subsets of NTLM SSP. You usually find that you won't talk to the high or down-level servers correctly. Even Samba has trouble with that. Mozilla has its own homegrown NTLM SSP as well. More recent, I haven't really investigated it too well, but they use that to allow people to get through particularly Windows web proxies and things. So I've talked about NTLM SSP, but I mean, I'd like to see it die. I think everyone would. Kerberos is a better system, and there are ways that we can use Kerberos in an interesting way in a Samba environment. We can't currently be an Active Directory Domain Controller, but that doesn't stop us using Kerberos in other interesting places. Microsoft played some games with Kerberos. They played a number of games in Kerberos, but one of them is introducing a new encryption type. Kerberos has this concept of different ways of storing a password and encrypting things with it, which usually means that your Kerberos server keeps a number of parallel passwords, one for each so-called encryption type. Microsoft added one. They had a problem. They had many, many sites that wanted to upgrade from NT4. It was the kind of thing they were doing the sales pitch with. But these sites had to be able to use Kerberos from the day they installed Windows 2000. It would not be acceptable to say, upgrade, oh, and those 20,000 users out there? Yeah, they have to change their password. That wasn't going to fly. So Windows 2000 changed Kerberos to add a new encryption type that was based exactly on the password that Microsoft was already storing that we call the NT password. It's that password is now available in Kerberos 1.3 from MIT and also 0.6, probably 0.61 from Heimdall. Both include correct support for this encryption type. With the use of this encryption type, we can play some very interesting games. We're assuming in this case a Samba primary domain controller. We're assuming that we have the passwords. We don't need the plaintext passwords, but we have the hashed passwords that every Samba PDC has. And that allows us to play into the Kerberos area. I created a patch to Heimdall, which has now been included in Heimdall 0.61. This patch means that Heimdall will directly use a Samba LDAP server as the base for a Kerberos KDC, with no modifications required to the LDAP directory. This Kerberos server is then very useful for controlling Unix clients in what was otherwise your Samba domain. Instead of requiring us to install things like WinBind and other very Windowsy artifacts onto Unix clients, we can install a Unixy Kerberos and have it correctly authenticate against this single password database. In particular, this is very useful for where you wish to deploy Linux clients on an experimental basis into your otherwise Windows world, and they can correctly communicate with this domain controller and this key distribution center for the Kerberos side. I've actually set this up and I got it functioning at my site at Hawker. where I've only been maintaining NT and LM passwords for at least 2 years. It also honours password expiry and account control entries. There is more work to be done. The patch doesn't currently change the password expiry time due to some incompatibilities in Heimdall. Then there's more work to be done on correctly getting and setting some of the account control bits and other interesting bits and pieces. But the fundamentals are there, and it's certainly a base which we can actually build a usable combination of Samba and Kerberos. Hopefully this will be the basis from which we can grow towards Active Directory stuff, but it's not Active Directory. You cannot get a Windows client to talk to these, as far as I know. But if someone wishes to try and can prove me wrong, I'd be very pleased to hear it. But we can move to use Kerberos for some of our other services. I constructed an example of my test system using this. So Kerberos with Heimdall, reading the Samba password entries. I set up LDAP to use Kerberos for its authentication. You can set up, if you build LDAP the right way, you can set a password type of squiggly bracket, Kerberos, squiggly bracket, and then a Kerberos principal name. If you set that up, LDAP will go out to the KDC and ask to authenticate that user when they come in with a simple bind. A simple bind is an LDAP system where you say, for this DN, I supply this password I wish to authenticate. It's plain text over the network and things, but it's used everywhere. In particular, it's used, you know, things like ModAuth LDAP, and generally anything that claims to have LDAP authentication is doing this. So integrating that is a very powerful thing to have into this system. Kerberos SASL binds, I also proved, would function. That meant that Kerberos was set up with Cirrus SASL correctly. I exported the key tab correctly into the host, Kerberos key for LDAP correctly into the host key tab. I was able to use my Samba password to connect with a Kerberos connection to the KDC, which was fully encrypted as well. PAM LDAP clients are those that use the simple bind mechanism to the server to authenticate against LDAP. And Samba, of course, was in this scheme as well, because it was just using the Samba password entries and didn't think anything had changed, because nothing had changed in the directory. Furthermore, Cirrus SASL can use any of these authentication schemes against this system. We don't support the arbitrarily any authentication schemes for this because we don't have the plain text password. But Intel SSP Kerberos, SPNAGO are all schemes which will either back onto Samba for Intel SSP or Kerberos for and against the Samba, the NT password. And of course, plain text passwords we can aim at anything. I have a number of resources. This basically concludes my talk and questions. This how-to in particular is an interesting one. It's been around for ages. The poor guy went to a lot of effort, set it up, and lots of people reference it, but he's not seemed to have got anywhere with it. You know, he wants to make a book out of it and you see a title at the top of his page complaining about his woes and turn it into a book. I suspect much of the problem is that what he documents there works with MIT Kerberos, but there's no, and it's a Kerberos, I have to check that URL as well. It's a Kerberos sort of LDAP integration, but it doesn't actually integrate the two into the same directory. And it doesn't do anything much with Samba. What I've sort of presented here actually puts them all together, and there is only one password that's being maintained. We have patches that are being maintained against different pieces of software in the Lorikeet repository that you've heard mentioned a few times. And I have on my Hawker College website my paper on how I set up my VPN authentication schemes. Got any other questions at this point? Okay, Jim. No, not at this stage. I'm really aiming at, well, I can do the Unix clients, and I know they can behave sensibly, so that's how I've worked. Any other questions? So I just sent you all to sleep.
Okay, then okay. Applause for you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We still have two talks left, one which is not on your paper here, from Jim McDonough from the Samba team at IBM, and John Terpser is going to speak a little bit about Samba documentation, around 20 minutes. Now we have a break of 10 minutes, call your girlfriends, take a leak, update your brains, whatever. See you in 10 minutes. Thanks again.